Volume 48, Number 8 of The Friend Magazine for August 2018. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency. President Nelson loves primary children. The No Fighting Promise. Family Night Fun. Book of Mormon Reading Club. Finding a Real Friend. Bright Idea. Shine Your Light, a Shining Testimony. Apostles Testify of Christ, Elder Ronald A. Rasband. Puddles and Blessings. Show and Tell. Friend to Friend, Soccer and Sundays, Elder Jorg Klebengat. I Can Always Pray. Sisters and Turtles. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. The Lemonade Stand That Changed Everything. What's on Your Mind? Food and Fun. A Friend Like Mark. Fun Stuff. Temples Around the World. Music. I Pray in Faith. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Find It. Family History Quest. Old Testament Heroes. David. Fun Stuff. Grow and Grow. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. Hi, Friends. Racing Rules. Making Happy Choices. Scripture Stories. David and Goliath. Coloring Page. Wally's Wiggles. End of Contents. Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends by Mail. Shine Your Light. Thanks for sending in your stars. Keep them coming. Turn to page 39 to see how. Family History Quest. Thank you so much for the friend. I saw the Family History Quest January 2018, and I love it. I'm using this for a 10-hour project for personal progress. Paige K., age 12, British Columbia, Canada.
Calming Glitter Bottles. Family home evening is a blessing in our home, and we use the friend to plan our lessons. We talked about what to do when feeling angry or upset. We made glitter bottles that were suggested as a way to calm down. February 2018. Tianyu Hang Yang and Kaixing Ji, ages 7, 3, and 10, Oregon, USA. Dear friends, Primary is celebrating its 140th birthday this month. Read about it on pages 2 to 3 and 10. What is your favorite part of Primary? This month, you could invite someone to visit Primary with you or try extra hard to make others feel welcome. Your love can make Primary even better. Primary needs you, the friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail, read by Margot and Chloe Patello.
From the First Presidency, President Nelson loves primary children. President and Sister Nelson met families in Bangkok, Thailand, where a new temple will be built soon. The primary turns 140 years old this month. President Nelson was once a child of primary age, just like you. Now he teaches children to choose the right. In April, President Nelson visited primary children around the world. Happy birthday, primary. Finish the sentences below, then use the words to fill in the puzzle. Check answers on page 39. Primary wristband. Here's a wristband to cut out and wear. Primary will help you learn about and follow Jesus. And primary needs you and your talents. End of the article from the First Presidency. President Nelson loves primary children. Read by David Shaw.
The No Fighting Promise by Myrna M. Hoyt, based on a true story. They took their swords and all the weapons, and they did bury them up deep in the earth. Alma chapter 24, verse 17. Today was going to be an awesome day. Timmy's cousin Maddie was coming over, and she was going to stay for a whole week. He couldn't wait to show her his toys and play together. When Maddie came over, the adventures began right away. For the first 2 days, they played with toy dinosaurs and pretended to be pirates. It was lots of fun. But on the third day, things didn't go so well. Timmy and Maddie couldn't agree on anything.
"Let's go outside and turn the treehouse into a spaceship," Timmy said.
"I don't want to. Let's just stay inside and draw,"
Maddie said.
"Inside is boring."
"No, it's not. We always play the games you want to play. Why do you always get to choose what we do?"
Timmy and Maddie kept arguing. They weren't having fun anymore. Timmy didn't like the way he felt when they fought. Then he thought of something.
"Hey, Maddie, let's be like the Anti-Nephi Lehis."
"The who?"
"The Anti-Nephi Lehis. They were people in the Book of Mormon who buried their swords. They had been in lots of fights, and they were sorry, so they repented. They promised Heavenly Father they would never fight again. Then they buried their weapons in the ground to show that they wanted to keep their promise."
Suddenly, an idea popped into Timmy's mind.
"Let's make some toy swords and bury them and promise we won't fight each other."
"Okay,"
Maddie said. Timmy and Maddie got some plastic building toys and made different kinds of swords out of them. Some were long, some were short, and some had lots of different colors. When they were done, Timmy and Maddie carried their weapons to the rug.
"Let's pretend the rug is a big hole,"
Timmy said. They sat down by the edge of the rug. Then one by one, they set each of their swords on the rug, pretending to bury them.
"I promise that I'm not going to fight anymore,"
Timmy said, dropping his last toy sword onto the pile.
"Me too. Now let's go play. What do you want to do?"
"Let's draw,"
Timmy said with a smile. Maddie smiled back.
"After that, let's play spaceship outside."
For the rest of the week, Timmy and Maddie kept their promise, and they had a lot more fun playing together after leaving their fighting behind. The author lives in Utah, USA.
End of the story, The No Fighting Promise. Read by Shauna Thompson, Gabriel Reinwand, and Mia Peterson.
Family night fun. Here's an idea for family home evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Burying bad habits. Read The No Fighting Promise on page 4. Then do this activity with your family. 1. Give everyone a piece of paper. Write down a bad habit you want to get rid of, like fighting with your siblings or complaining. 2. Bury the bad habit. Tear up the paper or bury it outside. You could even plant a flower to represent replacing a bad habit with a good one. Garden dippers. Make this snack to remind you that Jesus can help you grow good habits every day. Be sure to get an adult's help. For the recipe, you'll need 2 cans black beans, rinsed and drained, 1 lime, 1/2 teaspoon onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon garlic salt, 1/2 teaspoon cumin, crushed pretzels or nuts, optional, baby carrots, fresh cilantro leaves. Instructions. 1. Pour the beans into a blender or food processor. Squeeze in the juice from the lime and add the spices. 2. Blend until smooth. Scoop into small cups and sprinkle the crushed pretzels on top. 3. Carefully poke a knife or skewer into the top of each carrot and twist to make a small hole. Insert a cilantro leaf into the hole. Then stick the carrots into the dirt, leaf side up. More ideas. Drink lemonade while you read The Lemonade Stand That Changed Everything, page 32. Read the story of David and Goliath, page FJ4. Then act it out. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org. to find stories, activities, and media. End of this month's Family Night Fun. Read by Aaron Tullis.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how. This month's scripture, Moroni chapter 7, verse 48. Pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. Henry B., age 7, British Columbia, Canada, said, "My favorite Book of Mormon story is when Ammon defends the king's sheep. He was a good example of how to be brave and trust Heavenly Father." Sarah C., age 8, Lusaka, Zambia, said, "My favorite scripture is 2 Nephi 2, verse 26, about how we are free to act and not be acted upon. This scripture teaches us that we should do things on our own and not wait for our parents to tell us. For example, we can do homework on our own and have our parents check it." End of this month's Book of Mormon Reading Club, read by Wes Nelson. Finding a Real Friend by Christy Hughes, based on a true story. It seemed like all the friends were already taken. To have a friend, you must be a friend too. Children's Songbook, page 262. Christy stood at the edge of the playground looking at the slides and swing sets for someone to play with. A big group of kids shrieked as they chased each other around the field. Others swung from the monkey bars. A few girls giggled and whispered under a tree. Christy wanted to run and swing and giggle too, but she felt too shy to walk up to a group of kids she didn't know. So, she kept standing there. Maybe someone would come ask her to play. Christy's family had just moved, and she didn't really know anyone at her new school yet. As recess ticked by, no one came to play with her. It seemed like all the friends were taken.
"How can I ever find a friend?" she wondered.
The next day, Mrs. Godfrey asked a girl named Mia to sit with Christy at lunch. But Mia just talked to her friends, who were sitting at the same table. Christy felt lonelier than ever. She wanted a real friend, someone who would play with her because they wanted to, not because they had to. That night, Christy prayed to Heavenly Father and asked him to send her a real friend. Days went by. It seemed like her prayers weren't working. She knew that Heavenly Father loved her, but it was hard not to worry. Then one day at recess, Christy noticed a girl sitting on the ground alone. Her leg was bleeding, and it looked like she was crying. Christy was nervous about talking to her, but she didn't want her to cry alone. So, she took a deep breath and walked over.
"Are you okay?"
"I hurt my knee,"
the girl said, looking up and holding her leg.
"Do you want to go to the nurse? I'll help you."
Christy helped the girl get up and put an arm around her shoulder. Together, they walked slowly to the nurse's office. Christy waited while they cleaned and bandaged the girl's knee. Then they walked back to the playground.
"I'm Stacy,"
the girl said.
"What's your name?"
"Christy. Are you new?"
Stacy asked. Christy nodded.
"I'm new too. Want to jump rope with me?"
"Yeah."
Soon the two girls were laughing and jumping rope together. Best of all, Christy had discovered the secret to finding a friend. It was just to be a friend. And Christy knew she could always do that. The author lives in Utah, USA. How can you be a friend? 1. If you see another child alone, ask to play with him or her. 2. Hold the door open for someone. 3. Give a compliment. 4. Make a get well card for someone who is sick. 5. Look for things you have in common with others. And 6. This one's easy. Just smile and wave. End of the story, Finding a Real Friend, read by Chloe and Margot Patello and Wes Nelson.
Fun stuff. Find it. The primary turns 140 years old this month.
Primary started with about 200 children, but now the world is full of about 1 million amazing primary kids like you. Find the hidden objects below. A mirror, a CTR shield, a broom, a light bulb, a temple, a church, an apple, a banana, a boot, a book, a bat, a whistle, a cup, a water bottle, scissors, and a ruler. End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Shine Your Light, a Shining Testimony.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I try to shine my light by sharing my testimony. A beautiful island. I live in Sri Lanka. It's a beautiful island country near the southern tip of India. We have tropical forest, an aqua blue sea, and ancient historical ruins. I love my country. Friends from everywhere. My school has children from many countries. Some are Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist. We are all kind and friendly to each other. 1. A scary invitation. One day, the Christian students at my school had a special assembly. We were invited to share our testimonies. A hush fell over the room. No one went up to the stage. Everyone was too afraid. I am very shy, so I felt that way too. 2. Go, go. Then a warm wave flowed over me, and I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, go, go. I said a quick prayer in my heart. I walked up to the stage with butterflies fluttering in my stomach. 3. Sharing my testimony. I told my classmates that Heavenly Father loves us and wants us to talk to Him often. I shared my experiences with prayer. I said I know Heavenly Father always listens to me and wants to help me. I was glad that I had the courage to share my testimony. I felt like I had been a shining light in a quiet room. 4. Go and do. My favorite scripture story is in the Book of Mormon, where Nephi says he will go and do what the Lord commands. I hope I can always have courage to do what Heavenly Father needs me to do.
Send us a star. Jesus asked us to let our light so shine. Matthew 5:16. How do you let your light shine? Send us a star with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of the article, A Shining Testimony, read by Gabriel Reinwand and Mia Peterson.
Apostles testify of Christ. I know that Jesus Christ lives. I love Him, and I know with all my heart that He loves each of us. By Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Standing with the Leaders of the Church, Ensign, May 2016, Page 49. End of the article, Apostles Testify of Christ. Read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Puddles and Blessings by Sherilyn Olson and Marisa Dennis. Based on a true story. Marcel sits down to breakfast and asks his mother,
"Do we really have to go on a hike with the young women?"
"Yep. I'm going because of my calling, and I need you to come with me."
"But it's raining, and the rain here isn't warm like where I used to live."
"I bet something good will happen. After all, obeying our parents brings us blessings."
He thinks to himself,
"Why should I obey her? She's not even my birth mom."
Later that day, while standing in the rain, the young women talk among themselves.
"The trail will be too slippery.
What if we hike around the neighborhood instead?"
While Marcel stands grumpily outside of the cover of their umbrellas. Suddenly, he hears a familiar voice.
"Hey, Marcel."
"Noah, you're going on the hike?"
"Yeah, I'm here with my mom, too. Are you going?"
"Yeah."
"Watch me jump in this puddle."
"That was awesome. What about this?"
"Pretty good. I give you an 8 out of 10.
That splash was tiny.
2 out of 10.
Okay, your turn.
Before they know it, the hike is over. Back in the car with Mom, Mom asks,
It looked like you had fun on our walk. How was it?
You were right about obeying, Mom. Something good did happen.
End of the story, Puddles and Blessings. Read by Scott Christopher, Miles McClellan, Shauna Thompson, Chloe Patello, and Eden and Gabriel Reinwand.
Family History Quest. Temple Tracker. Ordinances are special ceremonies, like baptism and confirmation, that we need to return to God. If someone doesn't get baptized or receive another ordinance while they are alive, we can do the ordinance for them in the temple after they have died. Some of your ancestors might need ordinances done for them in the temple. Use the chart below to keep track. If the ordinance has already been done, color the temple picture. Then add this chart to your family history binder or box. If you don't know about some ancestors, keep praying for help and trying to find out more about them. Request ordinances on FamilySearch.org. When you're on FamilySearch.org, look for a picture of a temple in a green box. That means someone needs an ordinance done. Click on the green box, then click the Request button. An adult can take that person's name to the temple. And remember that you can help with temple work when you turn 12. Don't forget to cut out your badge and add it to the badge keeper from January. Print past pages or extra copies of this page at friendfhq.lds.org. End of Family History Quest, read by Margot Patello.
Old Testament Heroes. David trusted God. The Israelites and the Philistines were at war. A giant Philistine soldier named Goliath said that if anyone could beat him, the war would end. But no one was brave enough to fight him. David was an Israelite shepherd boy. He said he would fight Goliath. He knew God would help him. God had helped him before, like when he had fought a lion and a bear to protect his sheep. David didn't wear armor like Goliath did. Instead, he used a sling and stones. With God's help, he defeated Goliath. David later became a king. Read about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Young David trusted God and did hard things, and I can too. Next time something hard or scary happens, pray and ask God for help. Watch chapters 27 through 29 of the Old Testament stories at scripturestories.lds.org. Write in your journal about a time when God helped you do something hard. I will ask God to help me with fill in the blanks. Print more cards at otfriends2018.lds.org. Tad C., age 7, from California, USA, drew a great picture of David and Goliath. End of this month's Old Testament Heroes. Read by Dwayne Case.
Show and Tell. After I was baptized with my family, a new branch was opened, and it is close enough for us to walk to church. Anita Y., age 10, Liberia.
I try to be a good example to my younger brothers and sisters. Samuel B., age 8, Somerset, England.
I was racing my sister on her bikes when I felt the urge to stop and pull over on the grass. Then a huge truck came speeding by. I am grateful I listened to the promptings from the Holy Ghost. John H., age 9, Suffolk, England.
My friends and I went to see our friend Ruth from church. We brought carrot cake and flowers and sang primary songs to her. It made us all happy. Elizabeth G., age 6, Missouri, USA.
When I am afraid, the Holy Ghost can help me so I can be brave. Ammon N., age 7, Washington, USA.
When me and my grandma take out the trash, we practice memorizing the articles of faith. Sophie A., age 7, Indiana, USA.
I like to help my dad with the bees and beehives we have in our front yard. Evelette J., age 8, Alberta, Canada.
I was nervous starting Cub Scouts, so I invited my friend to come with me. I am a missionary just like my older brothers. William T., age 10, Alberta, Canada.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Sarah B., age 11, Utah, USA. Maddox R., age 8, Massachusetts, USA. Salome W., age 6, Quebec, Canada. Nathan T., age 9, Carrasco, Nicaragua. Note: find more art online at childart.lds.org.
End of this month's Show and Tell. Friend to Friend, Soccer and Sundays, by Elder Jörg Klebengad of the 70. In Germany, soccer is the most popular sport. My dad signed me up for a soccer club when I was 5. We practiced 3 or 4 times a week. Games were mostly on Saturdays and Sundays. When I wasn't playing soccer for the club team, I played soccer with my friends. We played soccer almost every day until the sun went down. When I was 15, I started playing for a team in a bigger city. Soccer became more serious. We practiced more often. We traveled to more places. We played against more teams. Soccer was my life. Then, when I was almost 18, I was at a concert. I saw a boy my age. He stuck out. He wasn't drinking, smoking, or swearing. I wanted to know why. I found out he was a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. His example made me want to learn more. Later, I joined the church. After I was baptized, I learned 2 things. First, I shouldn't be playing soccer on the Sabbath. I should go to church. Second, Heavenly Father expected me to serve a mission. But I was pretty good at soccer. I had a friend I had played soccer with all growing up. We each got an offer to play on a professional team. My friend took the offer. I chose to leave soccer behind and go on a mission instead. It was not a hard choice, because I knew the church was true. But my choice was difficult for my family and friends. They didn't understand what I was doing. My parents sent me newspaper clippings of my friend playing soccer. That was not easy for me. But I never, ever regretted serving a mission. Heavenly Father has blessed me every day because I chose to serve a mission. He has blessed me with peace. I felt the good feeling that comes from making the right choice. End of this month's Friend to Friend, Soccer and Sundays by Elder Jörg Klebengad of the 70. Read by Wes Nelson.
I can always pray. Prayer questions. Check all the answers that you agree with. Add answers of your own. Then share what you know about prayer with someone else. 1. Why does Heavenly Father want you to pray? Because I'm his child and he wants to hear me. Because he wants to help me. Write your ideas here. 2. When do you pray? Every night and morning. When I'm afraid. When I need to make a choice. Write your ideas here. 3. Where do you pray? In my room? Or outside under the stars? Write your ideas here. 4. What do you pray about? A problem I have. What happened during the day? Write your ideas here. 5. How do you hear Heavenly Father's answers? When I read the scriptures? When I feel peaceful? Write your ideas here. Start a prayer journal. Write down what you're worried about or need help with. Talk to Heavenly Father about it in prayer. After you pray, quietly listen for the Holy Ghost. During the week, keep watching and listening for answers. Write down the answers you get. Prayer reminder card. The first, the middle, and the last thing to do is to pray. President Henry B. Eyring. Prayer reminder card. We can come to know the Lord and trust Him through prayer. Sister Bonnie H. Corden. Pray. He is there. Speak. He is listening. You are his child. His love now surrounds you. Children's Songbook, pages 12 and 13. I always pray. I pray when I feel happy. I pray when I feel sad. I pray when I am frightened and when I'm hopping mad. No matter how I'm feeling, my Heavenly Father cares. So if my day is bad or good, I always say my prayers. By Teresa Weaver. End of the article, I Can Always Pray, read by Miles McClellan.
Sisters and Turtles. How could Ellie make things right with her sister? By Heidi Pullman, based on a true story. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Ellie walked into the room she shared with her sister, plopped down on the lower bunk, and started sketching on her notepad. She was in the middle of drawing a majestic mountain scene when Addie walked in.
"Get off my bed,"
Addie said. Ellie looked up startled.
"Fine."
She jumped off the bed and stormed out of the room.
"I wish I had my own room."
She headed to the bathroom to finish getting ready for school.
"What's going on?" Mom asked.
"Oh, Addie is just mad because I was sitting on her bed,"
Ellie said, handing Mom a hairbrush.
"It's so hard sharing a room with her."
"I know. I used to feel that way with my sister,"
Mom said as she started brushing Ellie's hair.
"Addie seems to be feeling a little grumpy lately."
"I know. I don't get it."
What do you think we can do to help her feel better?"
Ellie thought for a minute while Mom finished putting rubber bands in her hair. Then she smiled.
"I have an idea."
She ran back to her room and opened her desk drawer. There they were, two tiny turtle charms made of glass. Ellie remembered the story Grandma told her when she gave them to her. Once there were two turtles. One turtle had somehow gotten flipped over. Try as it might, it couldn't flip itself back over. The other turtle noticed that something was wrong. Using its nose, it flipped the first turtle over so it could stand on its feet again. Ellie loved that story. She ran to find her sewing kit and pulled out enough string to make two necklaces. She strung one turtle on each strand and knotted the ends. She put one necklace over her head. She put the other one in a tiny box and ran to find her sister.
"Addie,"
Ellie said.
"I have something for you."
"What is it?"
Addie asked.
"Here, open it."
Addie lifted the lid and carefully pulled the turtle necklace out of the box. She looked at her sister.
"Thank you, Ellie."
"You're welcome,"
Ellie said.
"Remember the story about the turtles?"
Ellie helped Addie put on the necklace. Addie nodded.
"Well, I always want to help you get on your feet again whenever you are sad or mad. Oh, and I really do like sharing a room with you. I'm sorry about what I said."
Addie gave her sister a giant hug.
"I love you, Ellie. You can sit on my bed anytime you want."
The girls ran to get their backpacks for school. As Ellie climbed into the car next to her sister, she felt warm inside. Sometimes, having a sister could be hard, but most of the time, it was just plain wonderful. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. I make cards for my family that say nice things and make them feel good. I love my family. I also send letters to my grandparents who are serving a mission. Peyton T., age 6, Idaho, USA.
End of the story. Sisters and Turtles. Read by Jane Wise, Alyssa and Roseanne Peterson, Maya Reinwand, and Sean Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Mandy is busy with her campaign for student council. Matt promised to help, but he's been spending a lot of time getting to know his cousin Max in Australia. Mandy calls.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what?
You said you'd help me with my posters. I could really use your help now.
I did promise.
Matt thinks to himself.
Be right there.
Matt walks in the room with his head poking through a I'm voting for Mandy poster.
How's this?
Mandy laughs.
That's great. Hope you won't mind hanging on the wall at school for 2 weeks.
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, dear journal, write about school. What's your favorite subject? Who's your teacher? Why do sharks swim in salt water? See page 39. Secret service. Leave a nice note on someone's car. Pick up trash and throw it away. Fill up the soap dispenser at home so it's full for the next person. Quick quiz. How many years did Jacob have to work in order to marry Rachel? See page 39. A. 28 years. B. 14 years. C. 7 years. D. 5 years. Thanks to Elizabeth P., age 10, Oregon, USA, for submitting this question. Draw it. Draw a bird from an arrow. Leanna M., age 12, New Jersey, USA, said, I stood tall when I shared the gospel with my 5th and 6th grade teachers by giving them a Book of Mormon with my testimony written in it. It felt good to share the gospel because I think that is what Jesus would have done. End of this month for older kids. Read by Alyssa Peterson.
The Lemonade Stand That Changed Everything by Daniela Subieta, based on a true story. Wherefore, be of good cheer and do not fear, for I, the Lord, am with you and will stand by you. Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verse 6. The air was chilly as my friends and I walked around the playground. We stopped at the red swing set. Usually, I love to swing high and feel the wind blow through my hair. But when I sat down this time, I didn't move. Ruth and Amruta sat in the swings next to me and didn't swing either.
I'm scared,
Amruta said.
Are you?
I kicked the sand under my feet. Yeah, especially when I watch the news.
Me too,
Ruth said.
I've slept in my mom's bed all week.
Last week there had been a terrorist attack. Everyone was talking about it. Mom told me a terrorist attack was when bad people hurt other people who haven't done anything wrong. I didn't understand everything that had happened, but it made me want to cry. After Mom tucked me into bed that night, I couldn't fall asleep. I kept thinking about the people who had died or been hurt. How did their families feel? I wanted to help them, but I didn't know how. When I got home from school the next day, Mom looked a little more cheerful.
Our neighborhood is going to have a lemonade stand. We'll raise money for the firefighters who helped during the attack. Do you want to help?
Yes. How will the money help the firefighters, I asked.
Well, it could help them pay for doctor visits, or it could help their families.
Let's do it, I said. Finally, something I could do. On Saturday, Mom, my brother, and I spent all morning baking Mom's special triple chocolate chip cookies to sell at the lemonade stand. That afternoon, we carried trays of cookies to the street corner. Our neighbors were waiting for us with pitchers of lemonade and plastic cups. A boy from school waved at me. Hey, Aaron, I said, are you helping sell stuff too?
Yeah, this lemonade stand was my mom's idea.
Cool, want to try a cookie, I asked. After eating chocolatey cookies and sipping sweet lemonade, Aaron and I hung up signs that said, lemonade stand and help the firefighters. All afternoon, Aaron and I waved at cars, poured lemonade, and traded delicious cookies for crisp dollar bills. Even when people didn't stop, they honked their car horns and waved as they drove by. Mom said it meant they thought we were doing a good thing. Then Aaron's mom passed around a card to send the firefighters. It had pink and red hearts on it. I signed my name and wrote, "Thank you for saving lives." I drew a heart and a smiley face too. By the end of the day, I was tired, but I couldn't stop smiling. I feel better now, I told Mom as we walked home.
I'm so glad. When you help others, you are being like Jesus, and the Holy Ghost can help you feel safe and happy.
When I went to bed that night, I thought about how happy the firefighters would be when they got the money and card. And I thought about how happy Heavenly Father is when we serve others. I snuggled up in my blankets and smiled. I wasn't scared anymore. The author lives in Georgia, USA. How they helped. When Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, Texas, USA, Haley and London wanted to help. They saw news stories about libraries whose books had been ruined in the flood. Haley and London love reading, so they decided to raise money for new books. They made more than 165 Texas Strong stickers. People from all over bought the stickers. Haley and London donated all the money to their favorite library in Houston.
End of the story, The Lemonade Stand That Changed Everything. Read by Salem Tullis, Margot Patello, Mia Peterson, Shauna Thompson, and Daniel McClellan.
What's on your mind? I feel scared when I hear about bad or scary things happening. What can I do to feel better? Scared in Saskatchewan.
Dear Scared, when something scary happens, you can turn to Heavenly Father in prayer, to the Scriptures, and to a grown-up you trust. All of these can help you feel peace. Serving others can also help the Holy Ghost bring you peace. Here are a few ideas for serving others. I see a sick family member, a story about a terrorist attack, a natural disaster, people who need help in my neighborhood, someone being bullied. I can make them a card or share a talent. Pray for the people who were hurt. Donate to the church humanitarian fund or another charity. Plan a service activity with my family. Walk them away from the bully and tell an adult. What's on your mind? Do you have a question about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony? Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put "What's on your mind?" in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you. End of the article, What's on Your Mind? Read by Gabriel Reinwand and Jane Wise.
Food and Fun. Emergency Scavenger Hunt by Kenzie Parsons. The Scriptures say, "If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear." You can help your family prepare by collecting supplies for an emergency kit. Use this scavenger hunt to find items in your home. Ask a parent to help you add them to your kits. Tools. Something to open cans with. Something that gives light. Something to clean your hands with. Dry foods. Something crunchy, something chewy, something for dessert. Canned foods. Something sweet. Hint, think fruit. Something with meat. Something with veggies. Comfort. Something to read. Something to play. Something to hug. What else do you want in your emergency kit? As you gather your kits, make sure each person has water and food for 3 days, a blanket, and a change of clothes. Preparedness trifle. You could make this treat from food in your emergency kit. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 2/3 cup powdered milk powdered mixed with 2 cups bottled water. 1 small box instant vanilla pudding. 1 box animal crackers or other cookies crumbled. 1 small jar raspberry jam. And 1 small can mandarin oranges, drained before using. Step 1. In a medium container with a tight-fitting lid, combine milk and instant pudding. Put the lid on tight and shake for about 3 minutes. Step 2. Layer the ingredients in a bowl in this order. Half the cookies, 1 cup pudding, the jam, the rest of the cookies, the rest of the pudding, and the oranges. End of Emergency Scavenger Hunt by Kenzie Parsons. Read by Wes Nelson.
A Friend Like Mark by Jason Lyle Black, based on a true story. Be ye kind one to another, Ephesians 4, verse 32. Josh carefully colored in the last black spot on his white t-shirt. Normally he'd be grounded for 1,000,000 years for coloring on his clothes, but Mom said it was okay this time. Josh was going to a primary activity, and all the kids were supposed to dress up like their favorite book or movie character. Josh was going as Dex the Dalmatian, the mystery-solving dog. After Mom dropped Josh off, he spotted Robbie and Nate from his primary class. Robbie looked like a pirate, and Nate was some kind of superhero.
What are you supposed to be?
Robbie asked when Josh came closer. I'm Dex from Sticky Ricky. Robbie and Nate laughed.
That show is so lame.
Josh felt his face go red. Well, who did you guys dress up as?
Can't you tell? I'm Percy from The Pirate's Revenge.
And I'm Captain Scorpio,
said Nate.
You seriously haven't seen those movies? Everybody has.
Josh looked down. I guess my family watches different kinds of shows. Just then, Sister McCarthy called everyone to get in a circle for a game. Josh made sure he was far away from Robbie and Nate. The next week, Josh played basketball with some other boys from primary. He tried his best, but he wasn't very good at it. He couldn't bounce the ball right or make a basket. The other boys laughed when he couldn't throw the ball very high. Josh ran home, trying not to cry. I'm not doing that ever again. I don't even like sports, he thought. And I'm not going to any more primary activities either. I just don't fit in. When Josh got home, he played the piano to calm himself down. Then he read his favorite book until he felt better. A few weeks later, a boy named Mark moved into Josh's ward. Josh could tell right away that he was cool and popular and good at sports. Would he make fun of Josh like the other boys did? But he was actually really nice. Mark sat by Josh and talked with him about a book he was reading. A few days later, he invited Josh to play basketball. Josh didn't really want to play basketball. It'd been pretty awful last time, but maybe with Mark there, it would be better. He decided to give it another chance. The first time Josh tried to shoot the ball, didn't get very far. It dropped to the ground and bounced away. Josh froze, waiting for Mark to laugh at him. But instead, Mark just grabbed the ball and smiled.
Hey, good try.
Mark passed the ball back to Josh.
Try again.
Later, during a game, Mark kept passing the ball to Josh. Their team lost, but Mark didn't seem mad about it.
Great game,
he said with a smile.
If you want, we could stay and practice for a little while.
Mark taught Josh how to hold the ball when he was shooting and how to aim for the basket. After a little while, Josh made a basket.
Awesome!
Mark gave Josh a high five. Thanks for helping me, said Josh.
It was fun. See you tomorrow.
Okay! As Josh walked home, he couldn't stop smiling. He was glad to have a friend like Mark, and maybe one day, he could be a friend like Mark to someone else.
Sidebar. One day, I noticed a new girl at school. Her name was Huda. She came from Iraq and spoke no English, and she seemed nice. I talked to her at lunch. Well, I tried to. After that, we became friends. The girls I'd started being friends with basically ignored me after that because they were uncomfortable talking to Huda. Even though I lost my friendship with them, I found a better friend. Katie L., age 11, Mississippi, USA.
End of the story, A Friend Like Mark. Read by Scott Christopher, Miles McClellan, Ethan Nelson, Gabriel Reinwand, and Alyssa Peterson.
For parents of little ones. Don't touch the stove. Don't play with scissors. Don't run into the street. As parents, we know that obedience helps keep us safe, but children can't always see that. By teaching them about obedience and safety in different ways, we can help them understand a little better. Here are some ideas to help your child understand obedience. When a child asks why about a rule, take time to explain how it keeps them safe. Guide the conversation by asking, "What would happen if we didn't follow that rule?" Keep rules short and specific. Instead of saying, "Be careful in the parking lot," try, "Hold Dad's hand." Whenever possible, make the rule positive instead of negative, like stay with the cart instead of don't run away. Thank them when they make good choices. Before going on an outing, like to a park or beach, review safety rules for that place. You could even consider making flashcards with pictures to remind them of important rules. Teaching beforehand is easier than trying to teach with distractions all around. Learn the words to keep the commandments from Children's Songbook, pages 146 and 147, and talk about how obeying God's rules keeps us safe, too. You can read past letters at friendflo.lds.org. End of the article for Parents of Little Ones, read by Scott Christopher.
Hi, friends. Kyler, age 4, Alberta, Canada, said, I set a good example for my brother by being kind and patient and helping him. I love being a big brother. Camille, age 5, South Dakota, USA, said, I made purple DTR cookies. Caleb, age 4, Alberta, Canada, said, I got up early and set breakfast out for my family. It made my mom happy.
I practiced riding my bike. June, age 3, Taiwan.
End of Hi, Friends, read by Ocean Patello and Kate Peterson.
Racing Rules by Jennifer Maddie. Layla hops on her new trike and pedals down the driveway. She's supposed to stay on the driveway. It's a family rule. But Layla wants to race down the sidewalk. Her front tire rolls closer to the end of the driveway. What will she choose? Layla races back up the driveway. Obeying the family rule gives her a happy feeling. End of the story, Racing Rules, by Jennifer Maddie. Read by Ocean Patello.
Scripture Stories, David and Goliath, by Kim Webb Reed. David was a boy who took care of sheep. His big brothers were soldiers trying to protect their people. One day, David's father sent him to take food to his brothers. When David got there, he saw a giant soldier named Goliath. Goliath said if anyone could beat him, the war would be over. But no one was brave enough to fight him. David said he would fight Goliath. The king told David no. David was only a boy, and Goliath was strong and big. But David knew God would help him. Finally, the king said, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." David did not wear armor like Goliath did. He picked up a stone and put it in his sling. He threw the stone at Goliath's forehead. Goliath fell. David won. He had saved his people. Sometimes I face scary problems. When I ask God for help, he helps me be strong. From 1 Samuel chapter 17. End of Scripture Stories, David and Goliath, read by Kara McClellan.
Wally's Wiggles, by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Wally wanted to sit still in sacrament meeting. He did, really. But it was hard. He wiggled. He squirmed. He bounced. Mommy put her hand on Wally's shoulder.
This is Heavenly Father's house,
she whispered.
We need to be reverent.
Wally sat still, for a minute. Then he wiggled again. How could he beat the Wiggles? Wally looked at Robbie. Robbie was his little brother. Robbie was 2 years old. Robbie had the Wiggles, too. When you are two, the Wiggles are even worse. Wally whispered,
Robbie, let's look at your book.
It was a picture book. It was about Jesus. Wally opened the book. Robbie saw a picture of Jesus. Robbie smiled.
Jesus!
Wally nodded.
Let's think about Jesus,
he whispered. Robbie was quiet, and Wally's Wiggles went away. The author lives in Colorado, USA. End of the story, Wally's Wiggles, read by Renine West Nelson, Daniel McClellan, and Sean Nelson.